My name is Mike. I am the pastor here, and it is our absolute honor that you chose to join our church today. If you're new here, if you're a visitor here, great timing. At the same time, I'm sorry. We're going through our vision series, and so we're casting vision. We've been going for the last several weeks of what God has for our church this year, and our what I have it titled today as is Investing in the Future. And listen, today's message is about tithe and offering. It just is. And the responsibility of the church to do that. And so if you're new here, listen, just listen and just, that's it. Okay? If you're not new here, open your ears and hear. Okay? And so over the last several weeks, we've been going through our vision series of giving generously. First, we talked about laying the foundation of what it is to give generously. And we know that that starts from what? The condition of our heart. It all starts, generosity starts right here with our heart. But we also know that generosity on its own cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. And so we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to change our lives, to bring about a heart of generosity. The second week we looked at giving of our time and our service to the body of Christ. Because we come to church not to sit and be entertained, but we come to church to serve Christ. Amen. We come to church to serve Christ. And when we come to church to serve Christ, what do? We serve others. We serve others. And so we passed around a sign up for a few things that we need filled. Let me just tell you, if we don't have greeters on any given Sunday for like 4 months, there is something wrong, because you guys overwhelmingly signed up for greeters and to help with engaged kids. And so I am working through that list. Know that I'm communicating with Deb. Deb is going to be our greeter lead. She will be the one scheduling. We will have upcoming training. I'm working on all the different categories that we need to go through. More announcements will come as we get ready to start implementing for the things that we signed up for. So, I haven't forgotten about the sign-up. You're not free yet. I haven't forgotten it, okay? The third week, we talked about our global impact and how we can and should consistently support missionaries like the Philippian church supported Paul. And last week, we had Bob and Barb Van Wyk, missionaries to Botswana here, and to which our church, I was very impressed with how our church responded to them, but I hope a few of us felt so moved that we're starting to support them monthly. Because as we talked about in that message, the easiest thing for a missionary to raise is what? The lump sum. With the Assemblies of God, they're required to have two different funds, monthly and one lump. Their one lump has been fully funded for quite some time. Their monthly support is lacking by a few thousand dollars, to where if they don't hit it, they may have to delay their departure back to Botswana. And so I hope that you prayed about it, and I hope that we've had a few people step up and say, hey, we want to start supporting the Van Wyks monthly for their missionary call to Botswana. This week, we discover and we lay the fourth brick. This is the final brick in the foundation of our vision series of giving generously. And today, we're looking at how we can invest in the future. Now, this isn't about pouring into your 401k. If you work for a company, most companies have a 401k match so you can retire one day. Listen, this is about investing into the kingdom of God. This is the loftiest and, in my mind, the biggest dream of this vision series. But I believe that this is what God has said, so dream I will, and I hope you will join me in this dream. But I believe that God is bringing people in. He's speaking to the hearts of the people to make this happen, because I can't do it on my own. We can't do it on our own. Of our own ambition, we'll always fall short. Well, what's this dream that I keep talking about? Here's the dream. That we increase our investment, tithe and offering, we increase our investment as a body into the kingdom, into the local church body, whereby this fall, so just a handful of months away at this point, we can hire a part-time youth pastor. to develop and to relaunch our youth group. It's been several years without, and it's time, instead of having an account and saying, when the account gets so big, listen, let's put a date. Let's put a goal out there. Could we hire a youth pastor by this fall? I hope so, because that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. And listen, He's the one that multiplies. And so if He said to believe it, I'm going to believe it. And I hope that you will join me in believing it. So what is this investment? This investment is not necessarily to see your dollars grow so you can get a future paycheck. But what this investment is into the next generation of adults that will soon be running this church. Our current and our future teens of this church. That's the investment. And I hope you have your Bibles with you today. If you would you open them to two separate Old Testament scriptures. The first one is going to be Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. That's the very last book of the Old Testament. So if you're not sure, flip until you find the New Testament, and then go back a few pages until you find Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and then Proverbs chapter 3:9-10. Stay on that slide for a minute here, Brett. And while you're turning there, let me share this story with you. Imagine a skilled gardener tending to a plot of land. With careful planning, hard work, and dedication, the gardener prepares the soil, plants the seed, nurtures the growing plants day by day. Each seed represents a financial contribution made by members of this church community. As the plant begins to grow, the gardener notices that some are flourishing abundantly while others are struggling to thrive. Upon closer inspection, it becomes clear that the plants receiving ample water, sunlight, nutrients are flourishing while those in less favorable conditions are struggling. The gardener realizes that just as plants need the right conditions to grow, so does the church. So does the church community need adequate resources to thrive and to fulfill its mission. The generous gardener decides to invest even more time, effort, and resources into ensuring that every plant receives what it needs to flourish. Likewise, in our church community, our financial contributions are like seeds that we sow into the soil of God's kingdom. When we give sacrificially and generously, we are investing in the future growth and vitality of our church. Our tithe and our offerings provide the necessary resources for ministry, for outreach, for the hiring of additional staff, such as a youth pastor. Just as the generous gardener tended to the needs of each plant, let us also commit to nurturing our church community through our faithful giving. As we invest in the future of our church, we can trust that God will bring forth a bountiful harvest of spiritual growth. That was the place to say amen. To bring forth transformation, to bring forth an impact, and change the lives of all who are touched by Engage Ministries. Let's get to our first scripture this morning, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Go ahead and flip over to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9-10. I'll give you just a second to get there. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9-10. I still hear some pages turning. We good? Okay. Proverbs 3, verses 9-10. Says this, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." You can go to the next slide, Brett. These are two verses on tithing. These are two verses on trusting the Lord with our finances. Now listen, I know people hate to hear about tithing. I know people don't like to hear messages about tithing. Why? Because it's personal, isn't it? Are your finances not personal? Joel and Nicole, do you share your finances with me? Why not? Personal. Great answer. It's like she knew where I was going. Listen, it's personal. It's your money. But then people would say, well, you know, that makes the church sound greedy to talk about tithing. You sound greedy up there talking about tithing. It's my money. Well, here's a few questions for you. But is it your money? Is it your money? Is it in the Bible? Does the Lord talk about it? Should I avoid, as your pastor, should I avoid talking about it because it's tough to talk about? See, these two verses, they teach us to honor and to trust God because God is the rightful owner of all things. You have nothing without God. So the Israelites gave their first fruits as an offering in recognition that it all belongs to God already. We too, church, we should understand that all we have is God's. Everything we have is God's. And we should give our first fruits to express our gratitude and honor Him as the Lord of our lives. When we do this, we see this from the first scripture we read. When we do this, God Himself said this. Not the writer of Malachi, not somebody, but God Himself says to do this. Test me. Test me. When we give faithfully and generously towards God's works and purposes, His promise is a blessing in our present and our eternity. We don't give to receive. We receive because we give. By a show of hands, whose mom has ever said, "Try me"? Who here successfully tried mom and missed out on the wrath of mom? God says to test me. Test me in this. Tithing is something that we get to do. We get to tithe. And God uses tithing to increase our faith, to develop discipline, and to teach us responsibility. So let's speak on a few misconceptions that we have on tithing. Tithing was not abolished with the law. Tithing was not abolished with the law. So when I say the law, I'm talking about the Old Testament law, the law that Moses received. If you're reading our Bible reading plan, where we're going through the Bible in a year, what have we read this week? The law. And what did Moses do when he got down to the bottom of the hill and saw the Israelites made a golden calf? He threw them. Guess what he had to do? He had to go back up on the mountain for another 40 days while God rewrote the tablets for him. So we're just starting to get a picture and an understanding of what this law is. I am so glad we're not bound by the law today. But the law was not abolished, or tithing was not abolished with the law, because tithing wasn't introduced with the law. If you've been reading our Bible reading plan with us, you will see that tithing was happening long before Moses was even born. In fact, we have a couple of them here. We'll have it up here in a minute. But there's a couple of instances here. Let's just go to the first one. First one is Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. It says this: after his return from the defeat of And I had to listen to this to get it right, and I just lost it just like that, Deb. Chadolamor, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Melchizedek was the priest of God. And he blessed him, blessing Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Tithe is tenth. Tenth is tithe, tithe is tenth, okay? And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. On to our second scripture, Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 22. It's on the overhead. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you.'" And of all that you give me, whose is it? God's. "I will give a full tenth to you." So Abraham, go ahead and go to the next slide. Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek out of his gratitude for God's help and grace. He went into battle to get his brother, and so, or not his brother, be Lot. He went and got Lot. This was about nephew. That's right, nephew. Thank you. He went to fight to get Lot from capture, and that's the first time. So when Abram gave to Melchizedek, this is the first time that tithing was recorded, that giving a tenth is ever mentioned in the Bible. The second time is Jacob. Jacob is making a vow saying that "I am trusting the Lord, and I am trusting that you will see me through all of this, and this is what I'll do, is to give you a tenth of what you give me." Here's a couple of things you need to know. They did not give under duress. They were not forced to give. It was voluntary and it was generous. Did you know that tithing is a choice to serve God? Tithing is a choice to serve God and not our money. Our reason for giving must be to support God's purposes. Not because I'm up here telling you to support, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just bringing you the Word of God. But our reason must be to support God's purposes and advance His kingdom. I wonder, are we about the advancement of His kingdom here at Engage Church? Our reason for giving is to support the work of the local church. The discipline of giving, it teaches us to honor the Lord with all that we have and all that we do. Like Abraham and Jacob, our tithing, our generous giving should be voluntary. Our giving should be cheerful and not because we feel obligated. The opportunity to give to God and contribute to His work should bring us great joy. Amen. There is a line of belief that tithing was only an Old Testament practice. That's no longer for us today. We've already kind of touched on this. Of course, there are those that would hold that position. Why? Because it's a justification for either not giving to the church or not coming to church, because it's a money-hungry parasite. Those who have that belief, they miss the point of God's call for us to be willing givers. We do not have the choice to ignore godly principles simply because they came through the Old Testament law. That would be like saying, "I don't have to honor my mother and my father anymore." That means I can have multiple gods, right? But I can't. See, it misses the point for God's call. We don't get to ignore the godly practices. There's a definite relationship between Christians today and God's law. And it's because Jesus Himself tells us that He did not come to eliminate the law, but to what? fulfill. He came to fulfill the law. To which the central part of fulfilling the law was to do what? It was to give His sinless life as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, because we could never live up to all the good and perfect requirements of God's law. However, God still expects us to abide by the ethical and the moral principles of the Old Testament law. Here's what I believe. I believe that the Lord is saying to us today, as He did the Israelites in Malachi, test me in this. Test me in this. If you don't know my story, you're going to hear a very cliff-noted version of it. When I started coming to this church, October of 2008, I was invited at the end of, that would be August. I was invited in August of 2008 to attend church with a friend that was going here. I spent 2 months avoiding that invitation. Didn't want to go, didn't really want to go. We hadn't talked since we played high school football together, and I guess we went to community college. So community college had been a few years. Hadn't really talked. He became a Christian after school. I didn't. He was weird. I wasn't. We all know how that works, right? Christians are weird, aren't we? We're weirdos. Listen, I want to be a weirdo, okay? So I spent 2 months avoiding coming to church. And in fact, during that time, I started talking about tithing. I looked at the Bible and I said, listen, I don't want to have to tithe. Why do I want to go anywhere that requires me to tithe? So I spent the next 2 months talking to a couple of church leaders in the Pella area and just really wanting somebody to explain tithing well to me. What is this weird tithing concept that's in the Bible? Why would I want to do it? Why do I want to give to it? Why does God ask of it? It wasn't until the Sunday that I came here, and for some of you, you were here on my first Sunday here, and so you can verify this story. The pastor here at the time had a message about tithing that he had prepared for 2 months that God kept saying, don't preach it, don't preach it, don't preach it. Until the day that I came, my friend Sean Noel, who knows Sean Noel, raise your hand. My friend went to him that morning and he said, hey, pastor, I hope you have a good sermon today because I've got a friend coming. I wasn't there, but to which Sean and the pastor at the time would say, Lord, what are you doing? He'll never come back if the first message he hears is about tithing. So listen, I hope if you're new here today, your story's just like mine. Because after that Sunday, God used that service, He used the words of that message to answer my questions, to overcome any of my objections, and you know what He did with it ultimately? He told me it was a heart issue. That I had a hardness in my heart that I wasn't willing to let go. And I was trying to use this concept of tithing to justify not going to church. Further, He showed me it was a trust issue. Do you trust your money more or do you trust me more? And here's the last thing he said. It's your choice. It's your choice to step into what I've called you. It's your choice. So listen. It's your choice. Hello. I can't make you. I can't make you respond to that. I can't make you respond to this message and to step in to what God has called all of us as Christians to do. But here's what I can tell you. I'm so glad I did. I am so glad that I did. I have tithed, and this is not to toot my own horn, but if I'm going to talk about my story, I've got to talk about here where we are now. 4 years is 20 years that I've been in this church. I have tithed ever since, without fail, when it made sense and when it didn't make sense. And I can tell you that Alicia and I have not been without. It hasn't always made sense how we made it, but our faith never wavered. Now, show of hands, if you have a similar story that you gave, regardless of when and if it made sense, can you verify that the Lord will always come through for you? So all these hands up, you can go talk to them after service and ask them about their story. Here's what God said. God said, test me in this. Malachi 3:10, Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Does that get anybody else excited? Listen, I'm not talking about gold coins falling out of my pocket. We're not Scrooge McDuck here swimming through our room of money. But I can promise my life is infinitely better provided for, because I am faithful with what He has given me. And I know that those who raise their hand would verify the same thing. But He is saying to us today, test me in this. It's the only place I know in Scripture where God says, test me. God has not changed. His principles have not changed. The need for ministry support has not changed. Perhaps, if anything, the need has increased. Our responsibility to exercise faith and responsibility with personal resources has not changed. Everything still belongs to God. And guess what? He is still worthy of the honor that your tithe represents. Next screen, Brett. And the local body of Engaged Church, for those of you who might be wondering, this is what your tithe represents. It pays for everything. It pays for the lights that we have on this morning. It pays for the running water in our toilets. Can I get an amen? It pays for running water in our sinks and our water fountains. It pays to fill the baptismal when we have people wanting to get baptized. Electricity, so we can have these lights, the sound, the computers, the piano. Who's grateful to have a piano? Who knows that a piano needs tuned every so often, right? Your tithe pays for that. The tithe pays for your carpet. It pays for the chairs. It pays for our outreach when we get loads in from rural initiatives. Guess what? The tithe covers that so we can outreach into the community. The shirts. Listen, if you're a guest here, we have a shirt for you. It says, come as you are. Sure, it may not be a big deal, but guess what? The tithe pays for the shirt. Who likes a clean church? It pays for Rochelle's cleaning supplies to keep the church clean. Here's what else it does. It pays for staff. God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for each and every one of us who are here today. Give of your tithe or don't. It's your choice. I don't care. I do, because I want you to, but not in that sense. Just to clarify, I do care, but listen, it is your journey. It is your choice to step into what He has called you to. I can't make you get there. God Himself has put out a challenge to us today. You know what that challenge is? Test me in this. I believe with every fiber of my being that God will for sure bring this dream together if His people would just test it. So what's the goal? What's the dream? The dream is to have a youth pastor hired by the start of the fall school year, 2024-2025. Engaging our community for Jesus. We say this every single Sunday, but this is a multifaceted, complex endeavor. When you look at what engaging our community for Jesus could be, you will realize that we only scratch the surface of what that statement actually means, because there's so much more we could be doing. One part of that would be having a youth pastor, having a youth focused, where they're purely focused on the youth at the school, the youth of the community, is another way we can invest in the future of God's kingdom, the next generation, and this church. So, as a lot of us give to our 401ks without any guarantee, does anybody have a guarantee on their 401k? Or could it all go away tomorrow? Let's make an investment that is guaranteed to pay dividends. Church, will you take the step of faith? Will you respond to God saying, test me in this? If you would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? While I'm asking this morning for you to take a step of faith and to trust the Lord with your finances and giving up your tithe, the most important step of faith that you can take today, you want to know what it is? It's to put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. To give your life to Him and live according to His purposes. That is the most important thing. Everything else falls into place after it. But first we have to have a relationship with Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So, if you'd like to make that decision today, if you've never said, Jesus, I need you in my life, forgive me of my sins, and you would like to do that today, would you please just raise your hand, put it back down. Here's how I'd like to close today. We're approaching the end of service. And listen, I know that today's message, it was a hard message to hear. It was challenging for me to write. I was struggling with it this morning. Alicia and I were talking about it before I came over here because this is a hard thing to preach. Here's what I also know. It can be even harder to put it into action, to follow through. So as the worship team leads us in a song this morning, here's what I want to ask of you. Will you ask God to speak to you? Will you ask Him to confirm His word? Will you ask Him to help you take that step of faith? He knows your needs, and He still says, test me in this. So church, test Him. Test Him. And if just generally, listen, if you need prayer, if you're going through a hard situation, you need prayer for healing, financially, emotionally, physically, anything. If you want prayer, if you would like me to pray with you, would you please come to the front while they lead us? Because here's what I know. The Lord Jesus, He cares. And He sympathizes with you. And it's our job as the church body and as the pastor, it is my job to lift you up and to support you in prayer. Amen?